Yes, indeed, it is entertainment. It is 11 o'clock or just after on a Friday, and we welcome into studio Michael Leddy. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Very bouncy. Love it. Well, thank you very much
it's
indeed.
It's great to be here. Okay. I enjoy seeing you face to face every week.
Lovely stuff. And also we have Maria Rush of Rush Fitness, Director of Letterkenny Musical Society and writer of Living Out Loud. Good morning. Great to have you back. How are you getting on? Happy Valentine's Day to you too. How did himself perform, or is it an evening thing?
He got up and did the early shift this morning, Greg, so that's as much as I
Who said romance is dead?
Exactly, that's it.
And you're flat out at the moment, obviously, with work and everything else, and you're working on something at the moment, production at the moment?
We're working on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which is going to be opening on the...
Can you pull that mic just slightly in front of you? No problem.
I'll just come in closer. On the 4th of March, so we're just 2.5 weeks out from opening, and it is all systems go at the minute, and we're very, very excited. It's starting to come together.
Do you know what, by coincidence, the Danish title for Charlotte and the Chocolate Factory is?
No.
It's nothing controversial. My word, don't worry about that. We're having fun now.
Okay.
No, this is... So obviously, right, we're familiar with films.
Yes.
Okay, and we are familiar with their titles.
We are.
But they're obviously transferred into a different language, and it's not always perfect.
Sure, yeah.
Right, okay, so... in Denmark, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is known as, if you translate it back, the boy who drowned in chocolate sauce.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Did you know that?
Okay.
Do you want a few others?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
All right. It is. So this is the German title for Die Hard, the film. No, actually, forget that. I'm going to do it another way.
Oh.
I will start with what the actual translation is. So German...
It's Die Hard.
No, it's Die Slowly. So if you transferred it, right? But what's the German title? What's this the German title for? Die Slowly, Now More Than Ever.
Die Hard 2.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
With a Vengeance.
Okay. All right, this is a Chinese translation. Wild Speed Max. What film?
Fast and the Furious. Fast and Furious.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Very good. Okay.
You might get
this one. Spanish, in Spain, it's called The Rebel Nun. What is the English title? Yes, Maria, you're good.
The Rebel Nun. Wow.
Yes.
It's a better title.
Conjures up a whole other type of film.
Let's go back to Germany. This conjures up a different type of film. Six Naked Pigs. What could the Six Naked Pigs be? Be careful.
Full Monty?
Yes.
I love it.
All right. This one's a bit easier.
It.
Back to Germany again. The Unbelievable Trip in a Wacky Aeroplane. It is just Aeroplane.
It is Aeroplane.
It is Aeroplane.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right. Let's go back to China. So these are how the films are marketed in the foreign countries. But then if you look at the literal translation, that's where we're at. Okay. I'll do three more. This is in China. One Night Big Belly. One Night Big Belly.
Oh.
It's a comedy. One Night Big Belly.
Knocked Up, though.
Yes.
Well done.
Your mind works.
Oh, that's brilliant. I don't know how my mind works.
Vaseline in Argentina. Vaseline is what? It's a film. It's been done on stage.
Vaseline.
No. Shall I give it to you?
Greece. Yeah.
Greece.
Oh, Greece.
Yeah,
Greece.
Well done.
That's a really
This is a bit easier. China, it's called He's a Ghost.
Ghost.
Sixth Sense.
Yes, the Sixth Sense.
Oh, Sixth Sense. Oh, come on. That's how they marketed it.
Yeah.
These are like
I know. That's
like
a real spoiler, isn't it?
That's a total spoiler.
Okay, back to China. This is a film we've talked about in the past. Mysterious Murder in Snowy Cream.
In Snowy Cream?
Yeah, Fargo.
Yes, it is Fargo.
I never would have got that.
Okay, Israel now. It's Raining Falafel. It's Raining Falafel. This is the name of the film.
Yeah.
Meatballs? No.
Oh, very good.
Well, hold on a second. What film has that in the title?
Something with Splash of Meatballs.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yeah.
It's Raining Falafel. Yeah.
Okay.
This is an easy one. We'll leave this to Michael so he feels included. The Teeth from the Sea.
Jaws.
Okay. Last one.
That was the name. The Teeth from the... Oh, for God's sake.
I know.
They're terrible names.
I'm going to do two more. Santa is a pervert.
Bad Santa.
Yes. And the last one...
That's actually a better title.
This is the last one from Poland. First shoot, then go sightseeing. First shoot, then go sightseeing. This is another film we've talked about. We've talked about most films, I'm sure. First shoot, then go sightseeing.
Holiday, something holiday?
Mm-mm. In Bruges.
In Bruges. Oh, very good. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
In Bruges. That's it.
Some of those titles are like on the nose. It's like, that's okay, right?
Okay. Well, the one of Germany, it's called 96 Hours. We have a different name for it here. You won't get this one, I don't think. Taken.
So oh, 3 days. I was going down the 3 days.
Right? Yeah, so it's called 96 Hours in Germany. So that's it. That's just some of those.
I think that's the most exciting information I've received.
That was really cool. Yeah,
yeah, I like it. It's sort of funny. You know?
Yeah, it's really funny. But it's interesting to see how they market, like the teeth from the sea and stuff. Wow, they're, the names are so.
But if you. Right, so Jaws is not a shark, right?
True.
So you have to say Jaws, right? Well, what's how do you translate Jaws into Chinese? So this is how you know what I mean? For an example. Anyway, closer to home. and by the way, keep your bad Valentine's presents coming into us as well. We'll start with Maria.
Yes.
Romantic bloke. Romantic bogue.
Are we still doing this?
Is this an assessment?
That was a private message to Caroline, Greg. It wouldn't really...
Oh, right. So Caroline, she was saying, she's talking about some romantic puke on Netflix. Okay, well,
not that Greg is being judgmental.
Let's just pull that curtain back.
Listeners, I could come out with anything.
No, you're
today.
Doing fine. I like it. I like this unfiltered Maria.
Yes. Yeah, so she's definitely unfiltered at the moment. I think that's your cordially invited. I watched it one night last week because it just appeared on. I think it was Netflix, and it was one of the few nights that I was watching TV on my own. So I thought I'd put on something that Emmett would never, ever, ever watch. And I'll put on, you know, it's Reese Witherspoon and Will Ferrell, you know, 90s.
Yes, I've seen it. Yeah, I haven't seen it. Sorry, I've seen that.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong, but I'm afraid it did go a bit wrong. When I said it was romantic boke, it's utter scutter. It's absolute nonsense.
Utter scutter,
thoroughly,
romantic boke.
I love it.
Really enjoyable.
But you're making me say the real words in my head now.
Yeah, we see. That's
go
it.
On.
Get out of my head.
Thankfully, it's only an hour and 50 minutes long, which is also...
That's long for a comedy.
It's long for Will Ferrell and Reese Witherspoon pretending to not like each other and then inevitably, loving each other.
We know what's going on.
There's no spoiler because you have seen Father of the Bride, Bride Wars and Sweet Home Alabama, mix them all up and you've got a big bowl of trifle that's going to be fun.
Fair enough,
Two weddings on the same day. So you've got Will Ferrell's daughter who's getting married, who looks about 19, but that's, you know... She's getting married, having issues about whether she should be or not. And then you have Reese's, she plays Margot, and her sister is getting married and she takes over to organise the wedding.
I did see the trailer for this.
They both book the same place on the same day. They all land. You know, apparently in this part of the world, if you book a wedding, you just turn up on the day. You don't actually have to communicate with the place.
Nothing at all, right.
Okay. Stop bringing logic to a rom-com.
No, there's no logic in this. It's utterly silly escapism. Now, did I enjoy it? Yeah. Would I watch it again? No. I've got 46% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I think that was possibly because
generous.
People like her and
right,
like
okay.
him. Nick Jonas turns up in a random cameo. She wanted to make a movie.
Are you sure that you didn't enjoy it because you didn't have Emmett sitting beside you giggling like a schoolgirl?
I'm going to put it to you like this. There's a scene in it where there is an alligator being wrestled by Will Ferrell.
Right, okay,
so it goes from twee and cliched and quirky to utter nonsense. Like
Wackadoo.
It didn't need to go to those points.
Sure.
It was a nice enough narrative on its own. If you're looking for something rubbish to watch and something romantically charged for tonight, knock yourselves out. But
okay. It's on Prime, by the way.
Sorry,
you haven't seen it, obviously.
No, I haven't seen it. I remember seeing the trailer and kind of dismissing it and thinking, so now, as you were speaking, I was like, ding, 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 ding. I remember these,
Really slushy.
But that's a good cast.
Family bonding.
But romantic, romantic bogue, a lot of people very excited for the new Bridget Jones film.
Oh, yeah.
Are you amongst those?
I saw it last night.
Oh, did you?
I did.
No,
I actually did say that because I knew I was going. I actually, do you know what? I went to the cinema last night for the first time in a lifetime. Because I always feel really bad that Michael is at the cinema seeing things during the week and I'm sitting watching something on Netflix that's been out for 4 years.
Well, as it turns out, he wasn't at the cinema this week.
But I'm going to the cinema at 2:30. I have my ticket. I'm very excited.
What are you going to
see? Captain America 4.
Oh, no, that's... We'll see that.
Well, you have know to. What?
The light go out in Greg's eyes there as I said what it was. The light just...
No, it's not that.
I can't wait to see it.
It's fair enough. We all don't like the same things.
We'll see if we can squeeze it in. Right, so we'll talk about the new Bridget Jones film. Lots of people very excited. We're going to avoid any spoilers or anything like that there. We'll we'll see what Maria thinks of it after we take this quick break. We're just talking about some of the crazy presents people have received, romantic or otherwise. And I was saying dads are mad, and we are. I don't know.
At least you own it. At least you own it. You're owning it. You're like, I am.
When Hudson was born and everything we went through, like I got in the car and drove and bought a 7-seater old Hyundai Santa Fe and brought it back and says, Ashley, look, there you are. And she was driving around, you know, little sporty Audis and stuff. And I decided that now was the time to get into a 15-year-old 7-seater 2-litre petrol Santa Fe.
Sure.
I'm mad. I was mad. Dads are mad. That is the truth. So rather than throwing it at other people's fault, I'll just own it. You know.
Yeah, that's it. At the time,
I thought, we're going to need seven seats
in the
because,
yeah, of course.
You know, my two adult children with their own cars and Hudson can sit right at the very, 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 very back
no,
seat.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah. So anyway, dads are mad. Any other dads are mad, get in touch with us. Right, so the new Bridget Jones film, I'm pleased that a lot of people would have been waiting for this and it seems to have been very well received. Maria, was it very well received by Ms. Rush?
It was. At 87% on Rotten Tomatoes, I just looked
at this morning.
And I would agree. It, you know, I didn't know what really to expect. Obviously, I remember going to see the first one. Mm-hmm. It was 2001, the Bridget Jones Diary came out. And, you know, the character of Bridget Jones is one that most women and some men can very much relate to. She's a bit lost. She's a bit daft. She has a great sense of humour. She has absolutely no inhibitions when it comes to, you know, getting herself into situations, but she's very much overthinking the world around her. Mm-hmm. So the first one I loved as a classic. It's you know, it's a great one. The second two, or the second and third one, I don't really remember. They merged into one. Okay. I know there's one where she had a baby and it's all very funny, but it is a bit cliched.
Sure.
This one, I didn't know what to expect. All I knew from the trailer was that her Mr. Darcy, the famous, the love interest played by Colin Firth, had passed. So I knew that's in the trailer. That's not a spoiler.
No, no. I'm just shocked that they killed him off.
No, he has.
Is he a ghost?
You seriously don't try and entrap Maria into a spoiler. So keep your wish.
I'm not going to give you a spoiler, but I will say one of the things that made me cry a lot last night, and I did cry a lot last night at it, was the way they portray her relationship with her dead husband is all I can say. It's actually beautiful. There's cameos in it. It's really well
done. So there was thought put into it.
Do you know, for a comedy and for something that it was almost, when I heard that they were doing it, I thought, oh, leave her alone. Just stop. But no, the cinema last night was full of middle-aged women, some men as well, actually, who all remember her from the first time. And it was like going to see an old friend.
Sure.
Yes, it was funny. Yes, she overacts parts of it. Yes, it was ridiculous. Hugh Grant is phenomenal. He is so bold. The audience are screaming laughing at some of the things he says in the movie. She's annoyingly cute. I think there's times that character, she just is, like, she doesn't open her eyes. She's so busy smiling at the world around her. She's brilliant. Emma Thompson steals the show for me. She's the doctor. So there's loads of cameos. There's so many nice nods back to the original film and to the previous two then. And they keep going back to different characters. All her friends are still there, which is a bit of a testament considering that in such a long time, the actors are all still here.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that was really, really nice.
The thing about a film like this, I don't want to overstate it because it's a comedy and it's a bit fluff, right? But there is, when you have an audience that has grown up with the character, right? So it's 24 years, isn't it? 24 years. Yeah. So you've changed as a person.
Yeah.
Lots of the audience and those that were there that have. There is a responsibility to get it right because very easy you could alienate the audience need to make it a success. So that's skillful writing and casting.
It's well written, it's well cast, and it's really well directed. There's some lovely comedy. There's some moments of scream out loud laughter where you miss the next line because the audience, the woman beside you, is probably me actually. Apologies to anybody who was near me last night. I have no volume when it comes to laughing at the cinema, but the way it deals with grief is absolutely incredible.
Well,
Like, it takes a lot to make me cry at a movie. This, I sobbed about six times last night. And it's just, there's a scene in it, and again, without spoilers, where there's a photograph being taken of her and her father, and it flashes back to the moment it was taken. Oh my God. Like, it is, it's really beautiful. So there's some lovely moments of really nice acting. There's some really good nods to the originals. You don't really have to have seen the other three movies really? To go because it's a story in its own. It does stand alone.
That's interesting.
But you'll enjoy it more because you'll understand
more
the
context. Context.
So like the big knickers turn up and the Hugh Grant text
you could
turn
possibly
up
and maybe watch the first one and then go to the
first. Absolutely. Yeah, the second.
Because that's what you did and you still got everything out of it.
And I have seen all of them, but I don't remember two and three.
Exactly, yeah.
But no, I definitely would recommend. It's funny, it's charming, it's realistic. There's a lovely, like the parenting that she does as well as a single parent. Her world around her comes in around her to help her. It's 4 years since he's passed. And it's really about her starting into a new phase of her life. Now, there is a love interest who is over 20 years younger than her. His name is Rockster, and he's played by Leo Woodall, who I've never heard of, to be honest.
Mm. He's in the poster. I was looking at the poster one evening. Myself and Fallulah were looking. So that I know who you mean.
He's the love interest, but I'm much more impressed by the... There's a character of the male teacher, Mr. Walker. Now, I'm not sure how to say his name properly. Chiweta Ejiofor?
No, oh, I know who you mean, but I don't know. I know who you mean.
I can't help you with it, but I know who you're
He was fabulous.
About.
I really, really enjoyed him. And as I said, Colin Firth is there a few times. Hugh Grant is beyond brilliant.
What is the story
Hugh Grant
Hugh
has
Grant?
Become a real
he
go-to. He really
because
has.
He was excellent. Your bumbling English...
Notting
you know,
Hill idiot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's been in The Gentleman and different types of film. He can ham it up, he can camp it
up. He's in The Wizards and Warriors.
He's
Paddington, obviously.
I haven't seen that one. But he's
so good in The Wizards and Warriors
film. Himself, hasn't
Chris,
he?
Chris.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
But he can still go back and pull it off in a film like this as well.
And they all look their age, which is something that really got me last night. Yeah. I love the fact that they're not...
She shows the 21 years, and I mean that.
She shows it.
That's a good thing,
and so does he, actually. I was surprised at how, you know, there's... It's warts and all. There's no...
That's great.
There's no airs and graces about it. It's
so
really nice.
So if you are heading to Bridget Jones tonight, by the sounds of things, not only just for Maria, but also all the other people that have watched it, and the critics too, it's very rare to get that universal approval.
Mm.
They have ticked the boxes, and you're going to enjoy it too. And it sounds like a real... it's really clever if they can pull on... The laughter emotions and the tear emotions
Definitely
as well,
is
which is a good sign. Excellent. If you've seen it, let us know. As Paula says there, can't wait to see Bridget Jones this evening. Well, you're going to love it by the sounds of things. Out of 10, it sounds like it's a thumbs up.
I'd be going at an 8.5
Which is
excellent.
Great number.
Because that's a rom-com effectively too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Essentially,
yeah,
the smart one. You see, they can be smart ones. Yeah, they can be very smart ones.
We heard with the romantic book that you can get from...
You should get that on a t-shirt,
By the way, sometimes Maria messages you and it's not for broadcast, just in case. I got my girlfriend a frisbee for Valentine's Day. I never seen her again. Oh, she must have thought it was a boomerang, bless her. Oh, no, maybe she dumped her. I thought she was away chasing the frisbee. What about bad Valentine's dates? On our first date... brought me to a beautiful restaurant and went to the desk. The guy knew him and knew he hadn't booked it. It was a Saturday night, so you can imagine everywhere was booked out. So we headed to Wheelers in Derry. Not all bad. We're married 24 years.
Oh,
there you go.
There you go.
The first date turned into a great
first date.
First date
on Valentine's.
Is
Wheelers
in Derry still there?
It's brave, isn't it?
Well, they've probably been writing to each other letters for quite some time, you know, 24 years. I have one at email. Greg, suggestion for TV, the Milli Vanilli lip sync scandal documentary. Very good, interesting, insightful and sad and unexpectedly good watch. I had the Milli Vanilli album. It was a cassette, a double cassette, actually.
Sure.
And it was actually really, really well produced. And as it turned out, they weren't singing.
They weren't
at all.
Singing, yeah. That was the big thing, yeah. That was actually is a sad
it's
story.
Kind of it's a tragic story to it as well. And then they had a bit of a resurgence because they had Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You was included in the one of the documentaries in America. And the music has been picked up elsewhere. So, yeah, I look forward to that. It is one I've intended to watch. I think it's been out for quite some time. I finished The Night Agent season 2, by the way. I know you're interested.
Oh, I love
in that.
It. So I haven't seen the second
really
season
good.
Yet, but
yeah.
I really
good.
Want to get into it.
Excellent. For what it is, it's not 24,
good
right?
Good action
but
movie,
it's
yeah.
good action.
But it's in the same genre and it's sort of, it's like 24 light.
It gives us some closure on a story and sets up a third season. So,
it's a massive hit. Like, I know it's a huge hit
I'm not surprised. It's a good show, so I look forward to that. And what else did I watch? Nothing new.
Are you watching Severance? I know Joe Dex is
No, but Joe is so... I love Joe too. Enthusiastic about a show.
Yeah,
it puts me off.
It gets
because I'm going. I can't enjoy this as much as Joe did.
No, nobody could enjoy it as much as Joe.
You know,
and I recommended it to him.
I recommended it to him.
I was the one said I love Severance.
Have
you seen
it? No, I don't think I've seen it.
It's on Apple. It's amazing.
No, I don't have Apple.
It's like
you really put me off now.
Oh.
But they're into season two.
They're in season two. Season three has started. They're already, they're working on season three because it's a huge hit for Apple.
I can't believe I'm back watching weekly episodic shows like
New Dexter. The new Lost. This is the new Lost.
Oh, right.
This is the show. This is the show where if this was an episode of the show now, people would be freezing and be like, what did Maria write down? You know, this, like, what's the significance of what she wrote on the piece of paper?
I'm not
deleting
it from my watch
for hours
list.
Online.
I'm deleting it from my watch list. I am not watching that. Not a chance.
I said the wrong thing. Sorry, Joe. Sorry, Joe.
Let's try and cleanse.
Sorry.
Let's try and cleanse our palate with a podcast. Yes. The Long View.
The Long View is a BBC Radio 4 series, and the podcasts are available from 2016, so maybe that's when the show started. And it's new to me.
All right, Sherlock.
It's new to me. Would you stop? Trying to be professional here. Right, trying to bring a lot of research to the table here.
Right, Agatha. Go on.
Anyway. No filters today. Yeah.
So, this is a show where, and it's new to me. So this is one of the great things about Caroline saying to me about investigating podcasts for this show. I'm finding all these really good podcasts. This is one I'm going to stick with. It takes a news story, and in a half hour, Jonathan Freeland is the host, and what he does is he brings three experts in from history.
Right.
History. Mm. And they look at historical examples of the same thing. Now, this week's episode I haven't heard. This week's episode, I wanted to hear it last night. I wanted to hear it this morning. Things went against me. It's about trade tariffs.
Okay, cool.
But it's looking back. But the one I did pick out to listen to is about social media and the concerns around social media today. Mm. And I found it to be a fascinating... Now, my only criticism of the show is the episodes are only a half hour. And it's a lot of, you know, I mean, you don't, an hour would be better for what they're doing. Mm-hmm, but what they did was he brought in three people, and it's like, it's not a documentary podcast, it's like a live studio show. So it's very much like listening to the first hour of this show. It's just they say their stuff, but they know their stuff. So the first guest spoke about the newspapers in Victorian era, and the second guest spoke about the motor car, and the third guest spoke about tobacco industry in the 1990s and a whistleblower. And the parallels, they kept bringing it back to the concerns we have about social media today, the proliferation of misogyny, racial hatred, everything, all the things that are wrong. And then look at the, you know, should there be legislation? Should there be regulation? And then how did people deal with newspapers in the 1890s? How did they deal with the motor car in the 1930s? And the big revelations about tobacco in the 1990s? I think it's a really clever way to take a modern concern and look at what happened before.
Context
and say, look, so and the newspaper one, go ahead.
Everything that's scary now was scary. Yeah. Scary before.
So it was interesting to see, and I'll give you my takeaway, and I say I want to listen to a few more of these episodes. But again, with the newspaper one, it was interesting because there was deep concerns from the government in England about the proliferation of anti-government newspapers and articles.
Or people actually have an access to information that is not...
So they raised the prices and they tried to take newspapers out of the hands of the ordinary people. Yeah. So they raised the price, and the comparative price would be a newspaper for, they were saying, about 25 quid for a daily paper.
Word.
So it was what they had done. What happened then was loads of illegal presses came up, and there was hundreds of them across, so they completely failed to get any success.
And not unlike tariffs, those are charges that the public actually end up paying.
Oh yeah, people had to pay, and the prices were up for years before
it
eventually came
out. With the tariffs, you see, they think if you put on 25% tariffs on China that China pay them.
But it's not. It's the ordinary.
They're import tariffs.
That's why I wanted to hear the tariff one. The next one I thought was very interesting was about the motor car, and I learned a lot in this one more than the other two. Because what they looked at was the early days in America where people were being killed. People were being killed on the road. These were the days when there were no rules of the road and different cities, there was no speed limits. So how did the car lobby respond and how did the government respond? They demonised pedestrians. Mm-hmm. It was the fault of the person. And this new phrase that came up, which I never understood where it came from, jaywalking. A jay was a country bumpkin. And the idea of a jay coming into the city and not knowing what they were doing. So for about 20, 30 years in the early part of the 20th century, it was completely the fault of the pedestrian if they got knocked down and killed. And that was the mentality. It was not, drivers had no responsibility.
Still a hangover from that today, then maybe.
To some degree. They were. But the thing about it was interesting to see how if the government was behind one thing, they took action because they were in fear. When the government was on the side of the car lobby, and then you're listening to this and they draw, you know, they're saying about, we're in now a stage where Elon Musk and where Mark Zuckerberg, social media, which has no sort of regulation and horrendous, they're now basically, let's say it, they're in government. They're in government in America, so there ain't any regulation happening. And I mean, you saw, anyone who's following, see that even whatever little regulation Facebook had, Zuckerberg pulled back on it a couple of weeks ago. They just destroyed, they pulled, fact-checking is gone, everything's gone.
Yeah, so, well, yes, but
whatever
but,
they had.
But the fact-checking was politicised.
Oh, to any degree, of course it was.
You can't be a fact-checker with your own ideology because you're just checking facts based on what you're.
So the last part of it then was about whistleblowing in the 1990s on tobacco, and they compared that to a whistleblower at Facebook in more recent years. I really love this show. Yeah, I think it's a smart show. Yeah. It's called The Long View. It's on BBC Radio 4, but the podcasts are available on Spotify, Podbean, and if you just go directly to the BBC, you can just download the MP3s from
and you
the
know,
The Long View. And they're only half hours.
Yeah, and it's interesting you prefer if it was even longer
I would.
In view.
Whereas
so
half an hour
sign.
Would make me listen to it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't want to commit an hour.
So the tariff one will be next on my list. I will listen to that.
Lovely
stuff.
We're hearing from Maria Rush and we're hearing from Michael Leddy, and we're going to be hearing some live performance. So we're going to have a chat and some live music after we take a break. Okay, that was okay. That was set off air. We're in the company of Lauren Mulholland and Geraldine Doherty. They're cast members of A Night with the Stars. Lauren, good morning to you.
Hiya, how are you?
Good, thank you. And Lauren, Geraldine, thank you for calling in. And I don't know why or how, but in our conversation over the course of 2 minutes, we're all bricking it now. I mean, we're all so relaxed that we've completely wound each other up. Are we okay?
Yes, we're grand.
We're good.
Okay, right. We're going to hear you sing Beauty and the Beast in a bit. But A Night with the Stars by Inish Theatre Group takes place in St Mary's Hall, Buncrana, from the 23rd of February to the 3rd of, the 1st of March, I beg your pardon. Geraldine, I'll start with you.
Yep.
Talk to me about the event.
So we done a show last year. It was called A Night with the Stars. It's basically a compilation of all your favourite musicals rolled into one with...
It's a buffet.
Yeah, a buffet with a few wee surprises along the way, different wee comedy sketches and stuff. So there was an outcry for more because last year it sold out and we had waiting lists for every night. So many people didn't get a chance to see it. So we're actually running another Night with the Stars.
Which is great, isn't it? It goes to show, firstly, the amount of talent to be able to put it on.
Yeah.
But secondly, too, the massive interest in it.
That's it.
You know, and it's great to see St Mary's Hall money being put into it, its development, increased accessibility. Do you know, it's all go. It's great, isn't it?
Because last year, the money that was raised from the show went towards installation of the lift. So at least now, everyone has access to the show. Doesn't matter what ability you have, you all have access, you know. If you're on a wheelchair, the lifts. It's
excellent.
Yeah.
Which is a big step. Right, so what kind of stuff's on? There's going to be a full production of Beauty and the Beast this year. You were going to, but you decided that people wanted more variety rather than throwing it all into the one show. Obviously, Lauren, you're a fan. I hope you're a fan of Beauty and the Beast.
Of course.
But you can see the logic in it, isn't it? Because it was so successful last year.
Yeah, well, we just wanted to do something that everyone wanted to do. There's so much talent in the community, and because of that, we were able to like grab everyone's different talents and put it all together. But we will be doing the full production of Beauty and the Beast next year.
That's it, because this worked last year and for this year, but at the same time, you don't want it to permanently replace doing full shows.
Of course, this is
the last time for now that we're getting sort of this...
So we need to get our tickets.
Get your tickets this time, because next year it's full productions.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so what kind of stuff's on the cards, Lauren? Obviously, we're going to hear some of Beauty from the Beast, but what else is happening on the night?
Oh, we've got so much. We've got The Wizard of Oz.
Greatest Showman.
Greatest Showman is in it. We've got different wee acts as well. There's the Mini-Me's are coming back. What else? We've got some comedy sketches. Oliver Twist. Just a bit of everything. So whatever musical you like.
Yeah.
And even like your favourite pop stars.
Stapleton.
Yeah.
Alana Miles.
Brilliant. And Geraldine, so much effort's gone into this too, because everyone's individual performance, they're driving towards that. And then you add that into the collective. It's massive, really, the amount of time's gone into this.
Well, like 100%. And we have so many songs and like we couldn't do it without. We have Brian McDevitt. He's our musical director, basically. And I've him tortured over and back with different songs. Then our director is Maureen Tully. That's an immense amount of work. compared to
because there's
to
a cast show. Over 100, isn't there?
So there's 60 children and 40 adults.
Yeah.
So, and even think about the costumes for all of those.
And in terms of the logistics, right, stage management, like I would say that's tough for a single show.
Yeah.
But how do you go about setting it up for so many different acts? I mean, I know yous have done it, but that requires a ton of expertise.
Yeah. Well, the likes of Maureen, our director, she was on shows for years. So she's basically the one running it, her and her husband, Sean.
Yeah, and the assistant director then, Elena McKinley and Adrian McMillan.
Yeah.
But I think it's just like years of experience and then the chaos. I think a lot of us thrive off that, just the buzz and the adrenaline of doing the show.
And we have a brilliant choreographer as well. We have Lee Chapman. She comes out from Eglinton. She's excellent. She does a lot of the show in the Millennium Forum. So it's just a whole host of people coming together and it does work. So you have everybody behind the stage as well,
that's
behind the scenes.
That
you don't actually see all the volunteers, all the sets and the prop design, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, last year, money was raised for, amongst other things, the installation of a lift, and that's been done. Fantastic. Are there beneficiaries this year, Lauren?
Yeah, there is. The two main charities that we are raising money for this year is the Buncrana Children's Charity and the Inishowen First Responders.
So two fantastic organisations.
Yeah, of course.
Do so much for our community.
100%, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's the story with tickets, Geraldine? I mean, obviously massively oversubscribed last year. The dates have been announced now. How are tickets going? What's left?
Oh, they're going really well. So our finale night is completely sold out, but there is limited tickets for the other nights. But at the minute, you can actually go on TicketSource online and book, or you can go to the box office in St Mary's Hall Monday to Friday from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
Yeah, but you don't want to miss out because this is coming up sooner rather than later. Yeah. And we are a bit lastminute.com. What are you going to be doing on the night, Geraldine?
I have a few different roles. I'm doing in Beauty and the Beast, Lauren is playing Belle, and I'm playing Mrs. Potts. And then I'm doing a song with two of the directors, Maureen and Elena. We're doing It's Raining Men, so we're doing the Weather Girls.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and then just different.
So in terms of how you decided what we're going to do today, right, how did it end up that you're not singing and Lauren's have to do it on her own? Just talk to me about that.
I just love her singing.
No, I want to talk about that process. Lauren, maybe you're the best one to ask in this.
I nominated Lauren.
Yeah, but anyway.
Her song's nicer for the radio. Mine's is more of a big production.
I'm not trying to stir it before you get up on stage. I'm only joking. Right, so you're going to sing for us what? It is actually Beauty and the Beast, is it?
It is. It's I think it's a tale as old as time. It's the main song from Beauty and the Beast.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. So you can get comfy.
Just before she starts singing.
Well, I was going to speak afterwards as well, but go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say today's Lauren's birthday, so can I tell her happy birthday?
Happy birthday.
Nice birthday present.
Well done.
Come to Highland Radio on her birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Right, Lee Gooch's birthday today. Of course, it's Valentine's Day.
There you go.
A lot going on. Any presents yet?
No presents yet.
You going
no.
out tonight?
I'm going out for Amelia.
Oh, lovely. Where?
Well, the Firebox Grill and Fawn.
Ooh,
yeah, we'll have a few drinks tomorrow. Proper celebration tomorrow.
I know what you're saying, yeah. Fantastic. Well, what a great weekend you've got lined up for yourself. All right, sorry, you get comfortable. Got distracted there. If up or down, if the music says low or high, don't worry about that. I'll sort that out. Right, okay, so where are tickets available again? Tickets are available. Just remind us one more time.
Yeah, so you can get tickets online on TicketSource. If you just Google it and you put in Another Night with the Stars, it'll show up. Or you can go to the box office in St Mary's Hall Monday to Friday from 6 to 8 o'clock.
And we'll also link that link that on our socials as well, just in case it's handier for people. Okay.
Lovely.
Here we go.
As it can be, barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly. Just a little change, small to say the least, both a little scared, neither one prepared. Beauty and the Beast, ever just the same. ever a surprise. Ever as before, ever just as sure as the sun will rise. Tale as old as time, tune as old as song, bittersweet and strange, finding you can change, learning you were wrong, certain as the sun rising in the east. Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast. Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast.
Well done, Lauren. That was wonderful.
Thank
really,
you.
Really was. Fantastic stuff.
Oh,
you've got
you.
Such great control over your voice. It's amazing. All right. So that's just a sample of what you can enjoy between Sunday, the 23rd of February, and Saturday, the 1st of March. Saturday, the 1st of March is sold out. There is limited availability for the rest of the dates. There is a whole host of entertainment on show, a cast in excess of 100, 60 children, over 40 adults. And just to give us a sense again, Geraldine, of the variety that people can look forward to, you're going to be doing It's Raining Men, which is going to be fun.
Yeah,
The Greatest Showman, hugely popular, and so much more besides. Okay.
Yeah.
And you can get your tickets at St. Mary's box office, St. Mary's Hall box office, and we'll link the online source for you as well. Thanks so much to both of you for calling down. I'm sure it's going to be a huge success. And do you know what show you're putting on next year, Lauren? Has that been decided yet? Or?
The next production will be a production of Beauty and the Beast.
The full production for 26?
Yeah, this year.
Great. We'll look forward to chatting to you. I'm sure we will before that. That was Lauren Mulholland and Geraldine Doherty, cast members of Night with the Stars. It's the last one for the foreseeable future, folks. So get your tickets if you want to go and see that. I suppose one of the greatest compliments you can get as a singer is people messaging in wondering if Lauren was singing live. Well, Maria, you watched with your own eyes. You are independent assessor.
Absolutely.
Isn't she amazing?
What a talent. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful voice. Yeah. Fair pleasure.
And I'm sure Geraldine is too. We just didn't get an opportunity to hear Geraldine, but you can at A Night for the Stars. Okay. Madeline McDade is of the Terman Drama Group and is on the line. Hi, Madeline.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I am doing
happy
good.
Valentine's
happy
Day,
Valentine's, dear. And you're back at it again. The Terman Drama Group are back on stage. It's your 10th year anniversary, which is amazing, isn't it, Madeline? A great milestone to mark.
It's absolutely fabulous, Greg. When we started up, myself and Mary Doherty in the Creasing Community Centre started the drama group 10 years ago. We never believed that we'd still be going this strong and still making people laugh. Well, hopefully we'll make them laugh.
Well, that's it. I've seen previous shows and you have them rolling in the aisles. And I'm sure Don't Tell the Wife will be no exception. It's running on Friday the 21st, Saturday the 22nd and Sunday the 24th of February in Kilmacrenan Hall. Tell us about the show.
The show is set in an Ulster household, the house of Edna Willis and Bobby Willis. And it involves a friend, interfering friend, which is me, and it involves a lodger who brings a lot of surprises that nobody was expecting, and it's just the usual Sam Cree. Anybody's used to Sam Cree. It's his laughter and his way of bringing over just good humour for people, for good feel, good factor.
Brilliant stuff. On Saturday night, the show is being performed in aid of the Do It For Danny charity. All proceeds going to help baby Charlie McLaughlin in Churchill.
Aye, it's baby Danny McLaughlin.
My mistake. Danny McLaughlin. Sorry.
Yes. So Danny's just a local little child to us now, and he just needs some help. He's not very well at the minute, and we just decided every year we've done a charity night on the Saturday night, and this year we're doing it for Danny and the McLaughlin family to help Danny's journey.
Brilliant stuff. So it's fantastic.
I can just thank everybody, all the local businesses who sponsored prizes, and people have been so generous making donations to the night and putting up spot prizes. It's been fabulous. We're out. We can't believe the response we've had to it. It's been brilliant.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, don't tell the wife. It's on Friday the 21st, Saturday the 22nd and Sunday the 24th of February in Kilmacrenan Hall. I've been to a couple of the shows myself and the audience absolutely love it. And do you know what it's the secret to good comedy is, Madeline?
What? Laughing at ourselves?
Timing. Oh. All right, Madeline, where are tickets available?
Thanks very much.
Where are tickets available? We have to do that bit.
Tickets are available for Friday the 21st and Sunday the 23rd. You can get them at Gracie's Stores in Termon, that's Kevin's shop to most people, or O'Donnell's Mace in Kilmacrenan. And thanks very much to both them businesses for selling our tickets.
Right, Madeline, take care of yourself. Madeline McDade of the Termon, the Termon Drama Group. Right, okay. So,
dear, oh dear.
Right, what's wrong?
That was
bad.
Dear,
oh dear.
Dear, oh dear.
What?
Just lowering the whole standard of the show. It was doing so well.
I'm just trying.
I'm
never going to get better than
I often say that to Caroline on the way out. He's very trying.
I'm never going to get a beat banger anyway.
It's fantastic. It's so much talent.
They are so funny, the Termon Group. They have a great collective there. And just genuinely very funny characters. Good. And then you get into a character of a funny character.
Yes.
I mean, it's a recipe for success. And I think going to one of those shows was one of the first sort of public comedy performances I've been at, if that makes sense.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Lived quite a sheltered life.
Sure enough.
I have.
I know. I feel I'm bringing the outside world to you every time I come up and talk to you about stuff.
Yes, of course. No, you're literally opening my eyes every single day. The Boys Own Documentary has had mixed responses to it. Certain characters not coming out of it too favourably, but it's a story that's the time's right to tell, according to Ronan.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. The Irish Times describes it as bruisingly bingeable, which I thought was a really clever phrase. It's car crash TV. You can't not watch it. Once you start to watch the first episode, there's three episodes, they're an hour long each, and it is absolutely doable to watch the whole thing. I watched two and then I watched the last one then during the week. But it's really, really interesting how they all come across, actually. There's an idea of, obviously they're telling the story about the 25 or 30 years that they were at the height of their fame. Mm. But it's also very much about, a lot of it focuses on Stephen Gately and what happened from the point of view of the media and how that impacted the band. And then, you know, they portray themselves as a very strong group of friends. There's a huge disconnect between Mikey Graham that maybe wouldn't have been as known at the time. I didn't recognise him when the screen cut
to
him.
Just was wondering if he is wearing the impact of Boyzone on him.
He definitely is. And I mean, I could say something that gives a very clear answer to that, but I'd be ruining
the end.
So, but he very much now, they all came across quite well. Mm. Ronan Keaton came across quite well. I wouldn't be a massive fan of his, but he seems very sore on himself. He seems to talk an awful lot about assuming blame for the split up of the band.
But he's also most media savvy.
Most media savvy. And he also, you know, yes, okay, you left the band and it never got back together, but how much of that is him leaving the band and him doing what he had to do to get the fame that he wanted.
Obviously, I was going to say Simon Cowell.
Louis Walsh. God almighty.
He doesn't come across. No, that's what I understand about this. He doesn't come across.
He's at whatever cost it takes.
He relishes, to me, you know, this is my opinion, he relishes the role of being the villain in this. He is there and he's interviewed quite candidly. Doesn't want to be there, but obviously doesn't care enough to not be there. He's quite happy to be there and be the baddie. Mm. There were parts where he said things where, you know, we were sitting going, oh my God,
did he say that?
And I heard it came across badly. I thought, oh yeah, whatever. No, he really does. He comes across as cruel and callous. And one of the lines that he says when he's challenged on
how, you know, he was planting stories in the media and he was making up things. And he actually says, and I quote, "I'd do it all again, I'd do it even more now." And yeah, he makes no apologies whatsoever. And then there's a part in it that...
And that's contextualised in that family finding out about stuff that's not... Like, this is not... There's victims, in inverted commas, to this. Like, he is literally saying, you know, whatever it takes.
Well, another line that he said and it was... it was my job to keep them in the papers, and that's what I did.
Right,
going to the extent of fabricating stories about plane crashes and affairs, and Stephen Gately did not have any choice in when he actually came out as a gay man. And there's like the sister of Stephen Gately, I think her name was Michelle. She features very strongly in this documentary.
Okay, interesting.
It's really nice.
He's represented in it then, really.
Yeah,
his sister,
is, and his ex partner. I don't know his name. He's a singer from a band. His first. Very public lover, he is interviewed as well. It's a rough watch from that point of view, you know it is. But when you see the reactions of the other guys in the band and the sister and the partner about, and even the audience, you're watching it and you can feel it and you can remember all that. Mm. And then Louis Walsh looks at the headlines and looks at the newspaper and he laughs about it. Oh, God, that's great. He got the front page, you know.
Right, that's available now. I'm going to have to move off. Yeah. We will start next week with Captain America 4.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes,
so we'll start off the next Friday with that. Michael Leddy, thank you very much indeed.
Great fun.
The Long View, very highly recommended by Michael Leddy.
BBC Radio 4.
Romantic Book on Netflix, Avoid. Bridget Jones' Diary. If you enjoyed it, you're going to love the new one. And Boyzone, tough watch, but well worth it.
Well,
I think we assess it with that.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much, the two of you. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much to all of you for listening to the show, watching the show, texting in, calling in. We're going to be back and do it all again for you on Monday morning from 9 o'clock. But for me, Greg Hughes, stay safe and stay tuned.